From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us again today. This is Alan Kearns with you once more to Let the Bible Speak and to continue our series of studies in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have followed the Lord Jesus from His baptism, through His anointing with the Holy Spirit, now into the wilderness, where He is tempted of the devil. The temptations of Christ, that will be our subject this week and in the next couple of weeks, under the general theme, Tempted but Triumphant. So I trust you'll stay with us as we take a further look at the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a little later. First, we'll have our hot topic, our commentary on a current event. And today we're going to deal with something that is in many ways very shameful. And that is how Hollywood chose a pregnant teenage fornicator to act the part of the Virgin Mary in its so-called nativity story. But first we start with the radio choir from Bob Jones University singing Dare to Stand. And now for our commentary for the day. Christians tend to be gullible. They are so used to Hollywood and the other major media forces openly attacking them that when someone comes along with a film that treats a religious subject sympathetically, they jump on the bandwagon. Thus, many Christians were delighted with the film the nativity story. I'm not going to say very much on the fundamental problem of all such artistic efforts, but I will repeat a point I have made before in these commentaries. I reject, and I believe that all Christians should reject, every portrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether as a baby or as a man, by any actor or artist. My reasoning is simple. Jesus Christ is God, manifested in the flesh. This is the most fundamental doctrine of Christianity, as 1 Timothy 3 verse 16 makes clear. Now the Bible is adamant that we are to make no physical representation of God. God himself has banned it. Holy pictures, icons, statues, and images are outlawed by divine command. And the same goes for any stage portrayal of Christ. In fact, this last could be the worst breach of God's law on the matter. For in it, a depraved creature assumes that he can, with some honesty and reality, portray the actions and attitudes of the sinless Son of God. The thought of perhaps a drunken, swearing, licentious actor portraying the Holy One of Israel is terrible indeed. And yet many Christians condone it and flock to see their productions. Enough said. Now to return to the Nativity story. The part of the Virgin Mary is played by a 16-year-old up-and-coming Australian actress, Keisha Castle Hughes. But producers ran into a problem. Castle Hughes was pregnant out of wedlock when she played the part of the Virgin Mary. Evidently, the father of her child is her boyfriend of 3 years. In passing, remember she's now only 16. Perhaps the police should be investigating this fellow as a possible child molester? Just a thought. At once, Hollywood spin doctors went to work. They were afraid that usually gullible Christians would be disgusted at the thought of a pregnant fornicator playing the part of the Virgin Mary and not go to see the movie. They were already counting their lost revenue. So they had to do something about it. Castle Hughes was, according to them, to be admired because she put the life of her baby above her own blossoming career. She did not have an abortion. So while Christians may be disappointed in her pregnancy, they should not be so judgmental as to boycott the movie. Now let's be clear. Miss Castle Hughes is to be commended for not going the abortion way. To add the murder of an unborn infant to her immorality would have made matters so much worse. And let it be clear that her sin is not the unpardonable sin. There is grace for her, as there is for every sinner. The girl needs to be saved, and the best thing Christians can do for her is to cry to God to have mercy on her. Christians cannot put the clock back for unwed mothers, and therefore should extend to them the kindness and grace that the Lord has extended to us. But can you imagine a bigger slap in the face to the memory of the Virgin Mary than to cast a pregnant teen to play her? Yet many Christians were determined to be gullible, or at least not too judgmental. Quite simply, they wanted to go to the movie. Sorry, Mary. This is, after all, what media critic Bernie Goldberg called the United States of Entertainment, where Hollywood profits trump holy purity any day.
Lord, grant my yearning heart's desire, that I be filled with fervent zeal, to save poor sinners from the fire, to snatch them from the verge of hell, and turn them to a pardoning God, to cleanse their souls in Jesus' blood. Enlarge in flame and fill my heart with thine own boundless love divine. So shall I all my strength exert and love them with a zeal like thine, and lead them to thine open side, the sheep for whom their shepherd died.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, and it's coming to you out of Greenville, South Carolina. I'm Alan Cairns, and it's my privilege to bring the broadcast to you day by day. Before I give you our mailing address and other ways to get in touch with us, I trust that you'll remember that if you haven't yet signed up to receive your free copy each quarter of the Let the Bible Speak full-color magazine, that you'll write or contact us and ask for it. I'd also draw to your attention our monthly devotional tape. It's a sort of an electronic magazine. Very many interesting articles and teaching devices in it, and we'd be happy to let you have it. So please be in touch with us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you'd like to contact us by email, the email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd like to call us toll-free, our telephone number is 1-866-877-5827. That is 866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you. And now it's time to turn for our Bible study to the temptations of Christ. That's the subject we started in yesterday's broadcast. And we noted that the temptations of the Savior were mysterious but very real. They were savage and severe. Today we take up our study with a point that I made yesterday. The temptations of Christ were prolonged, and as we shall see, they were powerful and subtle, but ultimately unsuccessful. The temptation was prolonged. We, I think, jump to the conclusion, and most preachers I have ever heard seem to strengthen this conclusion, that there were three temptations. That at the end of 40 days of fasting, Satan came and he gave these three temptations. I think that's an absolute mistake. There is some reason, I'm not going to go into it now, there is some reason to believe that the three temptations actually were repeated in a slightly different order. We may look at that again, we may not. But as I read Luke's account of this, I find that he was in the wilderness, tempted by the devil throughout the entire 40 days before he was in hunger and before these great climactic temptations. And the text is very clear. These were not 40 days of wonderful fellowship with God, undisturbed by Satan. These were not 40 days of intense personal preparation for a brief encounter with Satan.
This was a prolonged period of the most intense persecution by the devil as he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of that period, they reached their climax. So it was a prolonged temptation. It was certainly a very powerful temptation. I've said that all hell was let loose. Satan concentrated all his fury, all his ability upon one person and upon one objective. He launched his full fury against Christ. It was also a very subtle temptation, because, as we may have time to see this morning, when you examine what is told us of the details of this temptation, you will see a great deal of the cunning of hell in it. But thank God, ultimately, as far as Satan was concerned, it was an unsuccessful temptation. He went away, dismissed, dispatched, and defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ at every single step of this whole matter. And yet, we must not, therefore, jump to the conclusion that somehow it lacked the intense reality that your temptation or mine would have. It was real. The temptations of Christ were real, and they were severe. This whole matter of Christ being tempted was a vital part of a saving work. You remember, he said, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. And immediately after that, this is what happens. This is part of us fulfilling all righteousness. You see, the Lord Jesus was sent into the world on a specific mission. Isaiah 49 asks the question, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Christ was sent into the world to take the prey out of the hand of the mighty. He was sent into the world to take us out of the paw of that roaring lion, out of his grasp and out of his teeth, deliver us from the damnation of sin, from the awful bondage of Satan. The strong man had us imprisoned, to change the metaphor. The strong man was armed, and he kept his house. Who was there who could invade the prison house of Satan? Not Moses, for there's no salvation in Moses or in his law. Not Abraham. He needed to be delivered. Not even David with his kingly power. Who could invade as a stronger than the strong man that prison house and deliver souls from the grasp of Satan? Only Christ, and he was sent on that mighty mission. But first, of course, if he's going to enter into that strong man's house, he must prove himself stronger. He must prove himself the master and the conqueror. And therefore, the battle was joined right at the very beginning of the public ministry of Christ. And it was a battle with Satan for our salvation. As you see Christ in this battle, when he's tempted 40 days by the devil, you get some glorious views of him. And I must say, here I'm in a quandary. I haven't got started to preach in the text yet, and I have slight fears, more than slight fears, if I follow my inclinations, I'll never get to it this morning anyway. But you know, when I was sitting thinking, more honestly, when I was lying awake night after night after night in my return from Hawaii, because a medication is supposed to make most people sleepy, it took away all sleep from me, and so I was lying there for the whole night, night after night. Those are times when you get great thoughts. Trouble is, by the time I get up in the morning, I'm that stupid and that thick-headed that I've forgotten them. it weren't going to keep Joan awake, I think I would do what Pastor Braham does and carry a little machine with me and speak into it to remind myself of all these wonderful thoughts that I was thinking. But as I lay there and through the week and this last week have pondered what a view you get of Christ in his temptation. He is God. But the thing that strikes you is the true humanity of Christ. The true humanity of Christ. God cannot be tempted. The divine nature in Christ could not be tempted. But he was tempted. So therefore, the focus is on the true humanity of Christ. We were reading at the wedding service on Friday evening Paul's words of Ephesians 5, that we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. But you know, you can turn that around. He is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. The early church was cursed with heretics who tried to explain away the miracle of the incarnation, and they made the flesh of Christ to be some sort of a ghostly flesh. It was only an apparent flesh. It was not real flesh. And this nonsense has flowed down through the centuries, and it's with us today. Otherwise good men and sound men yet make mistakes here. Dr. DeHaan, in his great work on the blood, one of the best things ever written on the blood, made the terrible mistake, which he ought not to have made, because he made it on medical grounds. He was a medical doctor, and he ought to have known better than to write the medical rubbish that he did write. But he, on that subject, I mean. And he was coming to the conclusion that Mary and her humanity contributed nothing to the developing fetus within her womb. That she was just a vessel. That she can, if I could be very colloquial here, I don't mean to be irreverent, but I've got to make it in some way that people can understand the difference. That she contributed no more to the substance of Christ's flesh than the plastic Coke bottle contributes to the essence of the Coke that's within it. Or that a jar contributes to the water that you put in it, or the sugar you put in it, or whatever. They're totally different substances. He gave some medical mumbo-jumbo that was supposed to support that. But what was he trying to do? He was trying to establish what the old Plymouth Brethren following J.M. Darby believed was the spiritual humanity of Christ. That while Mary bore him, his humanity was a distinct, unique creation by the Holy Spirit. Not of her substance, but of a substance that the Holy Spirit created. I want to tell you, that is a denial of the gospel. It is only as he is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, it is only as he has a true humanity, not something that looks like our humanity, but that actually is our humanity. It is only then that he can stand in our place, take our guilt, be our head, and ultimately be our deliverer. The humanity of Christ is a very, very, very important theological truth in the whole scheme of God's redemptive purpose. And of course, the fact that it's true humanity, in the words that I've often quoted, O joy, there sitteth in our flesh upon the throne of God, one of a virgin mother born. That's the one who sits in heaven. Our flesh, our humanity, exalted to the right hand of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And as we'll see as we go on, that's what gives you encouragement when you're tempted. Humanity in Christ triumphed over hell. In Christ, our intercessor, we also can triumph over hell.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.